Hello, everyone. Welcome to Lost Rhetoric, a dim space for light hearts where we discuss all manner of odd. My name is Jason Dingius. Thank you for being here with me. This week, Nick Parks joins me. He's from the band Gaytheist. You might have heard of them. They're really fucking amazing. We're going to talk magic, left-hand path, right-hand path, stuff like that. But we're going to also mainly talk about a guy named Adolfo de Jesus Constanzo and his murder cult. That's the bulk of the conversation right there, actually, is that fella and his weird shit that he had going on. So stick around for that. Last episode, I spoke with my old friend JPX about people who died or possibly committed murder while high on LSD. So go fucking check that out. I guess I'm a true crime murder podcast now. I have no idea. But the last couple episodes, that's what I've been talking about. So go to LostRhetoric.com, find those old episodes, check them out, and yeah, let's talk shop real quick. Fucking find me on social media, Lost Rhetoric Podcast on Instagram, Lost_Rhetoric on Twitter, and you can just email me, LostRhetoricPodcast@gmail.com. And as usual, hit the like button, hit the subscribe button, leave a comment, leave a review, tell your friends, do all that wonderful stuff, and I would greatly appreciate it. So let's, I guess, get into what we always get into. What am I listening to? Well, not much. Honestly, I've been listening to things on repeat, things I've already mentioned. You know, today I was listening to Iggy Pop's The Idiot, which is good. And the only new thing that's new to me, and it's a new album, is a band called Vane.fm has an album called This World Is Going to Ruin You. And this album is going to ruin me if I keep listening to it, because, you know, I want to like it, but I don't. Not fully. I don't fully like it. But I like it enough. So I guess I recommend it. I don't know. Check it out if you like heavy stuff with sometimes singing. If you're into really, really, really heavy, brutal shit, you know, with pretty singing thrown in there that doesn't seem to fit very well, now you might like this band. So that is what I've been listening to. No Call Me Crazy this week. We're just going to get right into it. Here's me and Nick Parks. Here we go. There's going to be noises. Julie's going to probably like run a bath. The kid's going to make noise. The furnace is going to cut on, whatever. Shit happens.
Yeah.
Anyway, we're here. We made it. It's been days in the making. Ugh. So thank you for being here with me, Nick.
Yeah, man, I'm stoked.
I appreciate it. We are going to be talking about, it's so funny. I've been kind of looking into this for so long. It's like, what are we talking about here? It's left-hand path, right-hand path, kind of white magic, black magic stuff, right?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of, you know, we brought up the Palo Mayombe.
Oh, boy.
And I kind of just more focused in on that just because of all the crazy stuff they do, which I mean, it's kind of it's like just a different version of the same stuff, you know, white magic, black magic, you know, they're just different versions of the same practices, basically. You mm-hmm. know what I mean?
Yeah. What's your interpretation of what, like, you know, the left-hand path is and the right-hand path is? Like, how do you see it?
Well, like, I know, like, right-hand path is more like, well, they don't do, like, the hardcore rituals in the way that, like right hand is like for the light, you know, and then the left hand path is just always the opposite, you know. Mm-hmm. So left hand path is more, you know, so in like Christianity terms, you know, one of which you would be, you know, a Christian and the other would be a Satanist.
Right.
But, you know, and that's, it's all, I mean, it's not really that cut and dry. Most of this stuff isn't. That's why I think it's funny that, you know, there's so many different practices for this, what's essentially all the same thing. It's just different versions of the same beliefs. You know what I mean? And they all have their rituals and the way they, you know, create sigils and worship certain deities, like, you know, one's, you know, for this and one's for that, one's for, you know, you would, or you lump them all into one and you call it God, or, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mean, I don't really believe in magic per se. I believe in the human mind and willpower that people have, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that's what fuels a lot of these people in doing their rituals and stuff. It's the act in itself is what kind of makes them believe that it's working, you know, like the more right. you work at something, the more likely it is to come to fruition. You know, when you plant your seeds, they'll grow.
Right. You believe
whether
in their case, they believe their own bullshit usually.
Yeah, exactly. Like to me, it all kind of boils down to like self-empowerment, whether you think that's what it is or not, you know,
right. And
think you're, oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Oh, like, you know, they think they're giving themselves up to something bigger than them when really it's, they're just, you know, kind of giving it in for themselves. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, it's, it seems magic in any capacity, in any region, in any whatever culture, it seems just like it, religion in the same sense. In a lot of cases it is a religious thing. It's a spiritual thing. Sometimes religion doesn't seem to tie into what's going on, but it's all about the practitioner and their interpretation of it. And that's, some people take, like you said, like right hand path, the light path, which is known as white magic, meaning kind of just, I don't know. That seems to be the more like spiritual, trying to find inner peace or God or whatever the hell it might be. And maybe the left hand path, black magic, seems to be, and tell me if you have a different idea, but it seems like more, I mean, they're all self-serving. They're all about the individual and finding that path, whatever path speaks to you. But when you go down the left-hand path, it's like there seems to involve more people and manipulation, and just like, they're scandalous, man. And it gets weird.
Yeah,
it's,
I mean,
really weird. And sometimes, in what we're going to talk about tonight, hyper violent.
Yes, totally. And I mean, and not all of them, you know, but like, it's just the dichotomy, you know. Are they like, they, it's the extremism, I guess, like when somebody's holier than thou,
right?
And you know, very like, no, you know, like right hand, you know, they're kind of like, they're all about ascending their soul and, you know, being more godly and stuff, where left hand is basically like, oh, well, fuck that. We're just completely the opposite of what you are, but using the same type of magic
mm-hmm.
to do, you know, to achieve the same things, but just in a different fashion. You know what I mean?
Right. And then the left hand path, and I don't know if any of this happens on the right hand side, but when it involves, you know, animal sacrifice and blood and body parts and rituals that are kind of, I don't know, yeah, that involve death to achieve the end goal. I don't know how much of that plays into the right hand path style of magic, but yeah, it seems to be more really prevalent.
Practice.
Yeah, it's.
Yeah, I don't think the right hand really does any of that, and the left hand does.
Mm-hmm. And that's a big, I'd be more, I mean, I don't know what I'd be into. I mean, magic's cool and all that, but I don't know. I'm sure there's a middle ground. There's a middle path that people don't talk about that much, but it does seem all like the same shit. It's just like with anything, there's extremes and there's extremists. And then there's just different interpretations of the same thing. There's a different means right. to the end. And like, what do you enjoy most? Like, what path would you take, or do you
left hand path?
You're a lefty dude. Sure.
Yeah.
And in what sense do you think? Like, what do you like about it?
Yeah, sex magic.
All right.
No, I just no. I'm not really a spiritual person at all, but I mean, I don't know, if I had to pick, I mean, I would be more, I believe more in like karma, you know, I believe mm-hmm. more like if I was to, you know, but if you're a shitty person your whole life, you know, I hope if there is anything afterwards, you get a shitty version of that too.
Right.
If you're, you know,
no, I'm with you on that.
But I mean, I don't really subscribe to that type of thinking anyway. I'm more of, you know, worm food is the reality at the end, but like most of these people, you know,
who are the worms?
Like, no, are the worms.
Are your enemies the worms that are feasting upon your dead corpse? And that's, you know,
yes, and soon I will be the worm feasting on a corpse.
But yeah, right. Of someone, you know, we hate. Like,
yeah. Yeah.
Or someone that did us wrong.
Yeah, damn right. But they're the left path is like extremism, you know. And I mean,
well, what's the life?
But I don't subscribe to that in my life. I mean, I don't,
right?
You know,
well, yeah,
into animal sacrifices. I mean, I've killed animals before, like hunting, but I would never just, you know, be like, I'm gonna kill a fucking cat to be all like brutal and do a ritual. That just sounds fucking dumb.
Yeah, because
I'd rather cuddle with a cat.
Exactly.
Like, you're my minion.
Yeah, yeah. And try to, yeah, put a spell on the cat to do your bidding instead of killing it to put in a pot to influence the forces of the world to give you what you want or give someone else what they want.
I'll just have a fucking cute pet cat and just go to work every day to get what I want. I don't need to fucking kill shit.
Right. And that's where it does
get twisted. For that matter.
Yeah, that's where it does get twisted, because like the extreme part of it is, you know, killing things, excavating human remains from boneyards. And the case that we're going to talk a lot about later, a little bit later, is, you know, actual fucking murder of human beings.
Oh, yeah. Straight up human sacrifices.
Yeah.
Just picking people up at random. And well, not all of them, but.
And, you know, it's
dream.
Human sacrifice is a thing within, I mean, historically, but it would be like, I cut on some TV show today before I took my little midday nap, you know, it's like a Nordic kind of Viking or like Danish culture. And, you know, they like blindfold this little girl and she walks through the crowd. She can't see who it is. She just kind of, she's like the seer, you know, and they have a pile of rocks with like a burning, like cauldron, like a hole. And she just picks a person, grabs him by the hand, walks him up, and he willingly just knows what to do for the coming season and for the coming battle or whatever. He's got to sacrifice himself. But that's like his choice, and that's his culture, and that's what they do. And if you're chosen, it's an honor, right? It's a fucking honor to sacrifice yourself. But if someone is murdering you to sacrifice,
yeah, that's different.
Their means, their needs,
big difference,
major difference. Yeah. It's all cultish.
That's a midsummer shit.
Right. It's like, what side of the cult are you on?
Yeah.
You
know?
But
yeah, which the, you know, this Adolfo Constanzo's cult, it didn't really matter what side you were on, because even if you were in it, you weren't fucking safe.
Yeah. Okay. So yeah, that's where we're going, is Adolfo de Jesus Constanzo, the narco Satanists, which is
bullshit, because he had nothing to do with Satanism whatsoever, which I think is funny, but
yeah, that's like the media's name.
Narco Satanicos.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Narco Satanicos. That's right. Yeah. That's what they gave.
Yeah. It was a Narco Satanico.
Yeah. So yeah, but they had nothing to do with religion at all, right? Like, I mean, like then it wasn't like a God and devil dichotomy thing going on within his.
No, it was. He had kind of created his own version of Palo Mayombe, and which is all about sacrifice, sacrificing animals, usually like cats and chickens, dogs, goats. And, you know, he'd do these spells and stuff. And his whole thing was basically swindling drug cartels. And he like learned about the drug trade. And basically, like, was just telling them when and where to do their, you know, smuggling drugs over the border and stuff. And, you know, everything was going good. And they would pay him, you know, like $4,500 a go, you know, to do this ritual. And then they'd do they'd take the drugs out. And then, you know, everything would go perfectly fine. But what people didn't know is he's a bullshitter. The dude was like friends with like a high up police officer in Mexico City.
Mm-hmm.
But like, this is how he was swindling the cartel families was. And you know, Mexico is there. People are historically, you know, very strongly religious.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, they believe in spirits and curses and all that, you know? And so, I mean, even the dudes in the cartels, they were willing to pay this dude lots of money to, you know, basically give them magic spells to keep them safe, you know, while they were doing super sketchy gangster shit.
Yeah, and keep their drugs safe and keep their money safe.
Keep their drugs safe, their money, yeah. And yeah. He pretty quickly... like, it didn't take him very long until he was like, all right, he wants a raise. He's like, I want half of what you're making off of these drug deals. I think, I can't remember the name of the family, the Calzada family, the Calzada crime family. He like,
yeah, I think demands you're right. It's the Calzadas, yeah.
Yeah. He like demands like half of their money. Mm-hmm. And the dude's like, fuck you, man. And he freaks out about it. And then, like, a couple days later is like, hey, I'm really sorry. Somebody put a spell on me, and that's why I acted so, like, ridiculous at your house, and I'd like to apologize. So he wants to put a blessing on, like, the whole, all the head dudes of the crime family. Mm-hmm. For free. And so they're like, fuck yeah, this is awesome. And then he, like, goes there, gets them all into one place, and goes in there, and, like, starts to do the ritual, and then like right as he's getting ready to chop the head off of this chicken, his two lovers, who are his like kind of goon / cult followers, kick in the fucking door and just wipe out the whole entire crime family in one go. And then he just basically takes over their whole entire drug business.
Yeah. Yeah, he was just taking what he wanted, and apparently some of them lived for a while, and not all of them. I don't know if all of them died, because there's like bodyguards involved and like they were part of the crime family, but not actually part of the family. You know what I mean? And they were like washing up on the shores of the banks of the rivers, like mutilated. I don't know if it was, this was in Matamoros, maybe, I think, which is coastal. Yeah. Maybe yeah. They were washing up on the beaches. Just like totally mutilated.
Because they chopped off a bunch of their body parts and shit, and then just like threw them out in the water or whatever.
Right.
He did that, and they might have kept some of them alive, but I know they shot the fuck out of a bunch of
them. Yeah, they ambushed
them. Or it was seven of them. Yeah,
ambushed.
Yeah, them. They straight ambushed them, and then used their body parts for the Nganga, which is their
right. That's what I was going to get into. So let's get into that. And okay, so that's a big part of Costanzo's story. Was that was his first big move after he started dealing drugs, but he had an interesting upbringing that made him believe who he was and what he was doing. But there's also the religion, right, that he is or the practices, the magic that he is practicing. There's kind of a method to his madness in a way. Like, there's reasons in a way why he is doing what he is doing, and it's all about power.
Oh yeah.
And so these murders are serving this purpose. So we should get into more about his history and the history of the Paolo Mayombe and the stuff that he believes, so the listener can kind of understand what the hell this all means. Because he was a drug dealer. He did end up in Mexico, even though he's American, he's Cuban American. He did end up drug trafficking in Mexico and then just started murdering people with his cult. But there is a crazy backstory that we can get into. We don't give every detail, but
it is crazy. No, you're totally right. He got launched into this role.
He was born into it. He was born into it.
Basically. Yeah. Right. Yeah. This witch doctor was like, he is special. I'm going to teach him everything.
And his mom was a practitioner.
Took him on at like 6 years old or something.
Right. Six years old.
His mom sacrificed animals and shit too.
From what I understand, because his mom was a practitioner of Paolo Mayombe. Is it Mayombe? Right. Yeah.
Paolo Mayombe. Mayombe.
Yeah. Paolo Mayombe. She was a practitioner of that. And like, I know there was like probably some Santeria mixed in there too. Like a kind of like a hybrid,
so
of
it's all Palo based
and Santeria kind of things,
right? So, yeah, it's just a different. Yeah, Paolo Mayombe is a part of Santeria, essentially.
Okay.
Kind of, you know. But yeah, it's different practices though, for sure.
So what's the
Santeria is not into sacrifice at all.
Okay, so the basis of what. What Costanzo is into in his beliefs and how he was raised, what is it to your understanding?
Basically he grew up, being taught by this, witch doctor, you know, everything he knows about, Paolo Mayombe, or I think it was called, is it Santa Muerte is what he teaches him first. And then he kind of creates his own version of Paolo Mayombe, because it is its own. It's just called Paolo, which you have an Nganga and you do, you know, sacrifices to talk to spirits, you know, and the spirits, you sacrifice this animal and put its like remains in the Nganga, and then
the Nganga,
you know, which is just a bloody ass cauldron.
Yeah, it's just a that's
the
what
Nganga
is
just a bloody ass cauldron that they put 28 sticks in it, and these sticks are to communicate with spirits, because like trees, essentially their belief is that trees are like where the spirit is held.
And that's what Paolo means, right? Paolo literally means stick.
Right.
Am I wrong about that? I
think right. Which, and the other crazy thing about this is that they like, you are, that they hid a lot of this religion through Catholicism, mm-hmm. and like worshiped their spirits and gods through, you know, while, you know, going to Catholic church. But when they did their Hail Marys, they were praying to a different, you know, entity altogether.
Yeah, so they were doing it in secret,
which I thought was pretty interesting.
Right.
They're worshiping in plain sight, because if they didn't, they would get murdered.
Right.
You know,
because
we brought them here from different countries. countries and then force our religion on them. So,
right.
Which is always a cool thing to do.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And so, but, yeah, in a way it's pretty amazing. It's great that they keep that part of their culture, but it's so sad that they have to hide it. But,
oh yeah. I mean,
obviously, yeah. But
I just thought it was like, well, that's kind of cool that, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's like some fucking spy shit where it's like, oh, you're fucking hiding that from everybody in plain sight. That's kind of, I don't know. It's kind of wicked.
Oh yeah. Yes. And sometimes literally wicked.
But I mean,
you got to wonder if that secrecy and feeling like you're basically a fucking criminal from birth for believing what you believe, if that leads you down a path that he went down, because he's not supposed to even believe what he believes, you know, because it's like, it's evil inherently in the culture that he grew up in, or in the United States, you know? And it's like, you gotta wonder if like the shame he's supposed to feel, or the family's supposed to feel, that they got to practice in secret, like, leads to a lot of anger and just whatever. I don't know.
Right.
Like, whatever comes along with that. It's like, and
yeah,
our shit's getting ripped away from us. And I wonder if, I just personally wonder if that has any part in some of the crazy stuff that goes down mentally and emotionally. Yeah, well, yeah, but
I mean,
when your religion or your beliefs are heavily oppressed and suppressed by a culture that, you know, dominates you, that you have to assimilate into, I can only assume there's a massive amount of bitterness that goes into that, right? So,
I mean, I'm sure there's a little bit of that. I mean, you know, he grew up in Miami a lot. So, I mean, you know, the culture down there at the time for him was probably a bit more, you know, loose and fun, except for he was being taught to sacrifice cats like on the regular.
Yeah, because his mom was heavy into it, heavy into it.
Yeah, so I don't really know if it's so much any sort of resentment form. I think that it was brought up to be such a normal thing for him that, like, and probably he maybe be a little bit crazy. I mean, he seems like a psychopath.
He seems like a psychopath
because of his, you know.
Right. And when I talk about the resentment, I'm less talking about him personally, but like as a whole, anyone that is a practitioner of Palo in any regard, or Santeria in any regard, that at this time when you're forced into a society that you have to hide your actual beliefs, that fucking sucks. And if you are casting spells and trying to fuck with people's lives, it's going to be the people that are oppressing you, I'd imagine, hopefully, honestly, like fuck that.
Yeah, I mean, yeah,
but that's not. Yeah, I mean, he went down a completely different, darker path. But that was like my initial thought is like, if anyway.
Oh,
got a little skewed there, Nick.
Oh, they do sacrifice in Santeria. Also, they do. What's that?
Oh no, I was just saying. I think my point got a little skewed because I was rambling. But
oh, sorry. Yeah, I was actually looking at this Santeria thing real quick, and yeah, they do sacrifice animals in Santeria also. But back to this psycho, I think he just kind of like had it normalized for him, and that's where he in particularly just kind of, you know, I think there was a bit of an ego there as well, because he was kind of able to just woo people into his cult pretty easily. And then, and what's crazy is a lot of his bullshit, like he was a scam artist to the fullest, but like he would just give people advice. Like one of the things was this dude paid him, was like, I'm running out of money and I'm screwed and I don't know what to do. Like, can you help me? And he basically was like, yeah, give me this much money. He like cuts off a chicken head and has the guy bury it somewhere. And then he's like, put all of your money into this house that seemed like, you know, it was just a shitty house. Mm-hmm. And then like 6 months later, this earthquake happens, kills like 45,000 people. It's just devastating earthquake.
Where was this?
And then the city, this was in Mexico City.
Okay.
And then the city itself is like, we need to buy a property to get these buildings. And they like buy his property for like $250,000.
Wow.
And so, boom, he immediately is like a part of the cult, hardcore, you know, like believes this dude is like a true, what do they call him when he's a
Padrino?
Padrino, yeah, he's like, you're my fucking magic guy, and I believe you're real, you know?
Right. He seems to have a history of...
Had it booked.
Yeah, he seems to have a history of being either a good con artist or a good guesser or whatever, but he got it enough things right to make people believe and give him a lot of money and just follow him in general.
Yeah, lots of money.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to mention something about the prices that he charges for the different animals that he would sacrifice. Because he would like, you know, a chicken, it's like $30, a cat, $40, a lion cub, $3,500, you know, like, but it was like, wait, people were getting lions?
Oh my God.
Yeah, he would sacrifice lions. Yeah.
Damn, I had no idea. So this guy is obviously a bona fide. He eventually ends up being a bona fide murderer. He's just a straight up murderer. He's a serial killer.
Yes.
But when you learn about his history and his padrino, like his like witch doctor guy that basically deemed him to be a padrino himself, like he was going to be important, like it seems like almost like a godlike figure growing up, like Simba, you know, like hold him up and he's like the one or whatever. And his mom, his mom was a believer in this stuff too, and he grew up in a home that was constantly, it was just full of like literal shit and blood and guts and trash, and like he grew up in gross conditions, but it was all for a purpose. But he also apparently eventually had a sexual relationship with the padrino, even though with a person that was like his mentor from 6 years old. They eventually, however many years later, when he was older, were sexual partners. And you got to think, like, what kind of...
I don't think he was much older.
Really?
I think he was like 14. Yeah, I think that, but it was, and if from what I read, it was like consensual.
And yeah,
Padrino
it by law? It's like, not right.
No, by law, it is absolutely not. But, right. He basically styled it in the this is part of your duties when you become a padrino. You will do these things.
Yeah.
Doing them to you.
You will use your power to have sexual relationships with all of your, anyone that is under your spell, basically.
Pretty much.
And that seems to be like what he did, because you said, he had the people who came in with the machine guns and blew away that crime, the cartel family. They were his lovers. They were his like followers. He was in a sexual relationship, and
they were both his boyfriends. Yeah.
Right. And by the way, another astonishing fact about this guy: dead sober all the time. Right. Like,
oh yeah. That blew me away.
Like a genuine psycho.
He was totally against full on against drug use. Killed one of his own followers for doing some of the cocaine that they
stole. Oh, did he?
Straight chopped his fucking, yeah, like he like busted this dude in the face with a machete, and then without telling any of the other members of the cult, he like straight up like calls him out in front of everybody, busts this dude's face open, and then commands all of them. They tie him down, or they hold him down, and then they chop off all his like fingers and toes. They torture him to death, and then they kill him, and they put him in the Nganga.
Holy fuck. Okay. Because he busted them. Snorting yeah, coke. Dude. Wow.
They caught him snorting. Yeah. Doing the coke. And they're not supposed to do drugs. He was very against it.
You can deal as many drugs as you want. Don't use them. Is his point.
Seems a little ridiculous, but
that's his. Mm-hmm. He draws the line. Don't get high on your own supply, but don't get high at all. Don't get high.
Yeah.
But murder's cool. Murder's,
I think that's cool. A little. Yeah. Yeah. Well, and so in the way he escalated to these, you know, human sacrifices is, you know, they had an Nganga when the cult first started, and that one was built. It started with animals. And, you know, this thing's nasty, dude. It's full of coagulated blood. I mean, it's just fucking, you know, they're just putting animal parts in there and it stays there for, you know, and they, you know, they mix all sorts of shit in there to make the magic, you know, right. Coins for, you know, because right. Everything must be paid for, you know, or, and like rum, and they blow cigar smoke into it. And, but
also, but anything and, like at one shit, point, cum, piss, in, like, blood, body oh, parts.
Yeah. They
animal yes. parts. Yeah. It's like, if you want to look into what an Nganga is, look it up. And I think it seems like there's different, like, just like everything else, everyone has a different interpretation of how to go about it. But what you put in it, there seems to be, I don't know if it's written or if it's an unspoken like rule, but you don't murder human beings and put like fresh human blood and human body parts in it. That's like a big no-no, right?
Yes. So
traditionally, it's a big no-no.
The overall correct. Yeah. Yeah. That's the overall belief. But he was like, no, fuck that. I think he lived in like a small condo. And, you know, it said that he was super clean, unlike his mom and like where he grew up, that his house was spotless. His mom's house, she literally had fucking goats and chickens and stuff in the house for slaughter. They were there to sacrifice. That's yeah, why they were in the house.
Dude,
and he wasn't like that on his own.
The description of his home growing up sounds like a nightmare. It sounds like a slaughterhouse. Yeah, it sounds like totally, he grew up in a fucking slaughterhouse. Like inside of a slaughterhouse.
And then, yeah. So he's got his cult started, and they're practicing out of his like condominium. And he eventually is like, he's ramping up as, you know, a psychopath, essentially a serial killer. He's like ramping up to doing more and more. And so he's like, this Nganga isn't enough anymore. Like, we need a more powerful one. So they move to this like farm or something like that. And, mm-hmm. or it's another house where they have like a shed in the yard, and they make that the new fucking chamber. And then they do their first human sacrifice and feed it like the blood, brains, fingers, toes, the dude's dick and balls. And like, I think his heart and maybe his lungs, I can't remember, but they like straight up,
how do you take fit all that in
apart. And then he like, yeah, dude, I know it seems like a lot, but then he like has one of them clean up the dude's spine, and then they bury it in the ground and tie a wire to it so they can dig it back up later. And then he like makes a necklace out of it for this dude. And he was like, you'll be safe as long as you wear this necklace. And then the dude just like wore this necklace with the fucking guy's spine bones on it.
Fuck, man.
It's pretty nasty. Brutal. Yeah. Brutal. They did a lot of shit like that. a lot of these regular practitioners that don't sacrifice people get caught for grave robbing a lot because they want the human bones because they believe it empowers their Nganga. And so they're not murderers and shit, but they're like, what's this fucking dead guy doesn't need his fingers. I'm going to go get a couple finger bones out of here. And, you know,
right. Yeah.
Use them for my rituals.
It's pretty funny to say that grave robbing is like the more innocent and cute way to go about filling your Nganga than, you know, straight up murdering and getting the freshy stuff. So
grave robbing is the PG
version. grave robbing is like Nganga light. It's so fucking funny.
Yeah.
So when it comes to the powers that an Nganga can give the person that creates it, which is a very personal experience, like you're attached to it. And apparently if the person that created the Nganga, like everything is by permission, right? Like everything that goes into they're supposed to be by permission.
Right. And the spirits that they invoke can actually deny you, which is bad. But and that's why they're like, no, you never fucking use a human in Nganga. It's too hot. It burns too hot. And then the spirits are, you know, they're too hungry and they want more and more. And they're like, it's out of your control.
Yeah. It's like Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors. You know, it gets that taste.
Yeah.
And then that's all it wants.
And then
next thing you know, you're chopping up Steve Martin in a dark alley somewhere, you know. but the
great reverence.
The Nganga, like I guess if the practitioner, whoever created it, if they die or whatever, it's done. No one can you're attached to it. It's a personal relationship and no one else can come and like basically take it over and keep it going. It's just done. The flame burns out. I guess what I'm leading to is he is obviously pushing the boundaries of traditional Nganga practicing or whatever. All the rules he feels don't apply to him, and he's trying to get more out of it by doing what is not allowed. It seems like he's trying to innovate the fucking Nganga tradition. He's like, I don't care what you say, I am going to murder people and put in these fresh body parts because it's going to give me more power, right? Like he's pushing the fucking limits and he thinks he's
okay. So everything you just said, and then mix in a little, he's a psycho. And then mix in, you know, he's a sociopath and he really doesn't give a fuck about anybody but himself. So has this huge ego. And I think he just was like, you know what? I can fucking take this on and I can do it because I was born to do this. I've been doing it my whole life.
His whole life.
In his mind, he's a well-practiced.
Right. Imagine being 6 years old. Yeah,
he's a well-practiced magician. He knows what he's doing. So in his mind, this is what he was meant to do. He was meant to take that step and go further than any other Padrino before him. And I think, it's obviously to me, it's a coincidence, but to everyone else, it looked like it worked. You know, he's doing these fucking sacrifices. And then every time they go out and, you know, they kidnap people, torture them to death, kill them, go out for hamburgers afterwards, which was their thing. They like to go out and eat burgers every time they did a ritual, which I thought was weird. Like Whataburger and shit.
Right. Yes.
And, I got sidetracked.
Because it is the Whataburger. Now you're thinking burgers and now you want to go to Texas and have a burger. You want to get on tour?
I don't really want to hang on to it. I think they got them in New Mexico too, so I'll just go to New Mexico. But,
I'd much rather be in New Mexico.
Anyway, yeah, I just think I love it down there. It's beautiful.
Me too.
I love the desert.
Me too. I was literally just talking about that with my neighbor tonight, like an hour ago. I was literally just talking about that. Anyway.
That you love the desert?
Yeah, I love the high desert. I used to live in New Mexico for a little bit. You know, it's just, I love it. I would go back if my allergies weren't so bad and my wife didn't want to live there. Like, she doesn't want to live there. I would live there in a heartbeat.
I remember being there once on tour and it rained for like 2 minutes and like it barely even rained. It was just hardly a sprinkle.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy, Mike, was like, well, that's our storm for the summer. And
oh, really?
Like, oh, is it that real? And he's like, it never rains here. I was like, well, I know it never rains here, but it like, that's it. He's like, that's about it.
Wow, that's cool. I wonder where you were.
I love it here.
Yeah, in certain parts, it's especially the higher elevation. It's a daily thing.
We're in Albuquerque.
Oh, man, they get it on a daily basis for like 20 minutes. Don't let them lie to you.
Oh, well. He's a fucking lion sack of shit.
It doesn't rain that much.
Good thing I can't remember the last name. All right, call him out.
Get a fucking Ngonga going.
Oh, man. No, I wouldn't fuck around with that shit. I mean, like I said, I don't believe in this shit, really, but I wouldn't fuck with it either, just because... The shit he got away with sacrificing people and that's where I was going is they, you know, would do their sacrifices and then go out and do fucking sketchy ass shit. And like the cops were never even on to him. Like even when they got busted, they weren't even on to him. And they were like, we think it's these guys and we're going to check them out. And they still weren't even fucking certain. And in the end, they gave themselves up because they made a fucking mistake. And that's the funny part about the end that we'll get to, but
yeah, because he was in with the cops in Mexico for sure, but when it came to the American side of things, yeah, I don't know how he got away with it. I mean,
the magic worked. They got away with it all the way until. They got away with it until they murdered an American citizen that was there on spring break. That was their last kill, was an American. And once they killed an American, it fucking shit blew up because they were like, we're going to find who did that.
Right. That was,
and that kind of got them on everybody's radar.
Literally the fatal mistake.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause he wanted a brain. He wanted an intelligent brain for his fucking Ngonga.
What he considered it needs to be an American college student, which I find to be quite funny that was right. What he wanted for a smarter brain was an American college student.
He wants like, dude, fucking spring break. He wants us.
You're digging out of the. Digging out of a shallow pool there, bud.
Yeah. He wants a spring break brain. I want a fucking drunken college spring break brain. I'm gonna put flinders of a fucking human brain in my cauldron, and that's gonna really push me over the. I'm gonna be the most powerful man on earth.
I mean, I think it's silly. I mean, I obviously it's sad for all of the people who were fucking murdered by these crazy people, but. Yeah, that was his thought process to get an American college student, and that was what was really going to up his magical prowess.
So, is there any body part that he didn't put in his Ngonga? Is there any? I mean, when you got
because there are certain bones.
Okay.
I don't know what all they are. I know it's a lot of fingers and toes. And then I know they do a lot of taking of the testicles and then the brains. The brains are huge. The heart is huge. But I think
the spine is crazy to me.
Roll them in a hole.
Right.
Yeah. And that's what's weird is they would do that. They did that to a bunch of the people that they killed. They buried them with wires sticking out of the ground so they could pull the spines back up for later rituals. So they did these rituals like once a week, but they weren't always human sacrifices. They would like kill a human, and then they're like, now it's fed. And then it's like, okay, now we need to feed it a little more to keep it like happy. But we don't, it doesn't have to be a human yet. It can just be this goat or this cat or whatever, and then grab some more bones out of the, you know, dirt and give them some more of the human bones. And which, and you know, and they don't clean this thing, they don't empty it, they just fill it. So that is just a mental picture for anybody who wants to think about that. This has been going on for months and months. They're just murdering people and animals and feeding the Nganga, and nothing comes out of it. It just overflows over the sides, and that's where it stays. Maggots, flies. The more rancid and stinky it is, the more powerful is what they believe. So like, I believe his mom like had the cops called on her when he was a kid because they were like, the fucking smell is so atrocious. And you know, in Mexico, they're like, people do this. This is kind of a religion. So they're like, you can't have this here. You have to clean it up.
Right. Yeah. It's a pot of literal like death goo. And you can, this is what, it just blows my mind that this is the smell that he grew up with. It is so normal to him. Like, it would be weird if his house, or he just didn't have the smell of rotting organs and flesh and blood and shit and piss. And like, if he didn't have that right next to him, he'd be like weird. He'd be weirded out. It'd be too weird. You know, he's like wearing his white suits.
Well, it's not, I don't think it's something that he particularly enjoyed. I don't think any of them enjoyed it. But I think it was a strong representation of like when you walk in that room and you know that you're about to perform this magical ritual that is going to, you know, put a spell over you and your friends here to keep you safe from getting arrested for the things you've done. You know, you're very much kind of like going to confession as a Catholic. You know, you're believing that this is real, and if you don't do it again, you're going to be even worse off because you don't want to piss the Nganga off, that or else it might come after you. So you have to keep doing these rituals, you have to keep upping the ante. And so when you walk in that room, it's probably more of like, okay, I'm going into a trance. This is where I, you know, it's a whole thing, you know, it's the whole show that's being put on. That's that whole thing is special. The smell, the way it looks, the, you know, what they're wearing, all of it, you know, it's very symbolic for how powerful their belief is. You know,
so
what I mean?
Yeah. So the Nganga can, you have to basically make it happy, right? You have to do your,
you can't like stop. Once it started, you have to keep going. There is a way that they like retire the Nganga, but I don't know.
How do you,
cause he started a new one.
Yeah. How do you sever ties? Cause it seems like such an intense reciprocal relationship because you're feeding it and it's giving you what you want. It's doing your bidding somehow. So how do you mutually agree that it's done? The job is done and I can...
How do you break up with an...
Yeah.
It's not you, it's me.
Oh, man.
Cats aren't enough for either of us anymore, so we have to move on. I don't know. I don't know if that's something that, like, if they just are like, okay, and now I just let it lie. I mean, I do know that they're like, you have to feed the Nganga, but maybe it's you have to feed it for that one to do your will or your bidding versus, you know, if you just starve it, it stops doing what you want.
Well, when does it ever
flip
to where you're feeding it to get what you want, but then you, does it reach a point where you just have to feed it so it doesn't turn on you? And it's just,
I don't think so, but I think what it is once you've fed it human material, it now has to have human material to work. You can't sacrifice a dude and then turn around and expect it to eat cats or goats.
Right.
Now it has to be human material. So,
oh no.
And you know, for a psychopath, that makes perfect sense.
You just turned into a robot. Your voice just turned into a robot.
Could you still understand me?
You sound like you're talking through one of those little microphones that smokers. Oh, there you are. That was.
That's weird.
That sounded great for a second. I forget what they're called, but you know when you got throat cancer or something, and you got to talk through a little microphone in your chest or something.
Oh yeah, when it ain't doing that, man. Yeah, like the yeah, I know.
Yeah, that's what you sounded like for a second. But what were you saying? What were you saying?
At which part?
Oh, we were, I don't know. We were talking about breaking up with Ngongas, and I was getting like the vision of Seymour, and again, Little Shop of Horrors. You know, you got to start cutting your own fingers and feeding your own blood just to keep it happy, because you don't want to hurt anybody else. You just want to not die. You know.
Yeah.
So.
And.
When yeah, the relationship a couple turns,
of the poor saps that yeah a couple of the poor saps that were sacrificed to this man's Ngonga were privy to it beforehand, and then once it turned on them, they were immediately like, oh shit, I know what's about to happen to me.
That's so, because
the,
crazy.
You know, for them, the more you they were all about, like, if you had an easy life, it had to be a hard death. And the harder the death, the more power you get from the sacrifice. And so he also was like, oh, we need to sacrifice like people who've lived violent and die violent.
Okay.
So some of the cartel people were his like ideal sacrifices.
Cause they were bad people. You
know, a lot of those dudes live violent lives. Yeah, a lot of them did some pretty bad stuff.
Yeah, okay. So he's got his cult going, and he's getting the murder going, he's getting the drug trade going. He's El Padrino, he's the king of his little domain. He's down in Mexico running shit. He meets a woman who I guess they're a couple, even though he's pretty much right. a gay sort man. Of,
not really.
Like,
yeah, she's just another pawn in his little game. But yeah, he like sort of was like a wish with her emotionally.
Emotionally, but, probably just manipulating her.
Yeah, emotionally. Yes, and then he would occasionally like have sex with her, but she at one point was like, no, he clearly was like not into it,
not unmotivated,
you know, because he was and quick
and yeah, just bad, quick. She,
yeah,
bad sex. She,
yeah, and that girl, I think she pretty much got away like nothing happened to her at all, and she was like a part of all of it. I don't think she ever got to, because they didn't allow women in the room for the sacrifices. It was only men allowed. So, which is just part of the Paolo religion, I believe.
Are you talking about the Sarah even Aldretti? Sarah Aldretti lady?
I think, yeah, that's the one that he was like, I
oh no,
you.
She's
like,
in jail, yeah, man.
He like made her the, oh, is she?
Oh yeah, she's still in jail. Sworn
one of them like got away with it. Cause she was, that's the one who was like going to college and then like going home and like sacrificing animals at her house and then just going to school to, yeah, I'm pretty sure that's her.
If there was another woman, I'm not exactly sure, but Sarah, Sarah Aldretti is arrested and still in jail, and if she in Mexico, and if she ever got out, the U.S. would pretty much immediately swoop her up and put her back in jail in America.
Take her.
Yeah, so she's basically done.
Oh right, yep, you're right. Okay,
yeah.
For some reason, I thought I was, because like, no way, but yeah, that was his sort of girlfriend. He made her the high priestess or whatever.
Yeah, it seemed like it was I don't know if it was all for looks or show or whatever, but he definitely had her by his side and was like his right-hand woman or whatever. And she definitely
right,
big part of whatever, I don't know, whatever he felt he needed in the whole thing. And she bought it and she was a part of it. And man, her and it's like 14 members of the cult were charged with all sorts of stuff.
The list is long.
Yeah, the list is long, but it says that Sarah Aldretti, Elio Hernandez, and Serafin Hernandez were convicted of the murders. And some other folks got other time for, I guess, other things. But Aldretti, his girlfriend, if she ever got out in Mexico, America would arrest her for the murder of, his name is Mark Kilroy, who's the American student that got murdered down.
Right, that's
for his brain.
Yeah, specifically
for his brain. Yeah. Oh, man, it's just,
yeah,
the ego of this guy. But again, it's like, not that I'm saying let's cut this guy a break, but he was born into believing he was very special at a very young age, and had to grew up in a very violent environment. And it's like, there's no other fucking path this guy can go down than what he did.
Yeah. And I think that helped mold him to be, you know, a full on psychopath in his future. I mean,
he had a fucked upbringing.
Something fucked with his head.
I mean, just everything that we've explained, from his mother to the conditions of their house, to the brutality that she would inflict on whatever animals, and her practicing of Palo, and then his padrino, you know, inflating his ego from a young age, but then also having a sexual relationship with him at a very young age, and then just all the chaos around him, and just who has had this upbringing other than this guy? Like, what kind of, this is like one of the most crazy upbringings I've ever heard of in my life.
Like, Jeffrey Dahmer played with bones and did all this shit all on his own, and, you know, was truly like, something was wrong with him from the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
And then Adolfo Constanzo was like brought up to kill animals, like little animals, and play with bones. And I do know that in like other countries, they don't look at like cats and dogs like we do. Like, they're like, I don't really fucking care. If that cat dies, I'll get another one. That dog dies, I'll get another one. Like, they don't really, you know, think about pets like we do, or especially specifically dogs and cats. They're,
mm-hmm.
you know, some places they're viewed as just, they're just lesser. You know what I mean?
Right.
Whereas in our home, they basically are our other children. They're, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So getting brought up to, like, I don't know, man, maybe it just kind of like early on, he just didn't have that sympathy that, you know, most people have when they see a cute kitten. They're like, I want to hold it and love it and nurture it and have it be my friend. Mm-hmm. And they're like, oh, okay, I could slit that thing's fucking throat and sacrifice it to my Nganga and have magical power from it. You know,
right.
That's a weird upbringing. That's going to warp your mind a little bit.
Absolutely. You know? Everything is sacrificial. Everything serves a purpose for you. That's in his brain, that includes humans. Like, nothing's off limits. It's just.
Yeah. Well, that's like something that they're like, they were like those who don't follow like the same gods or whatever that we do are like, they're vermin, they're animals, and mm-hmm. we sacrifice animals, you know, so
he said
everybody's lesser than, you know.
Yeah, he said that to a couple people he murdered, right? He said something about like, you guys are good Catholics, yeah. And they were like, yeah, we're good Catholics or whatever, and he said something like, we think of, you know, Catholics or religious people as animals, and we sacrifice animals, and then he shot them both in the head. Or some shit like that, right?
Just straight killed him. Straight up. And that, I think, was that like his first real murder? Was that one? He shot the two dudes in the head just out of nowhere. Nobody expected it. And he just fucking killed him. And then he
I
was
think
like,
so. I think that was,
you know,
like,
what we do to animals? We sacrifice them.
Right. I think that was like his, even his followers, his cult members, which I'm sure they didn't refer to it as a cult, but they were even shocked that he did that. They didn't know that that's what they signed up
for. One of them threw up all over the place because they're like, what the fuck just happened?
Right. Yeah. But like I said, I don't know. There's no other way this guy could have turned out with the upbringing that he had, which is honestly just like a super fucked up childhood. It's a super fucked up childhood he had. Kid from, I'm sure it was even before six. Six seems to be the number they say the age he was when they were really pumping him with this, like, he's the one kind of guy. But I'm sure it was even all his cognitive existence has been mired in all sorts of brutality and just craziness. He's never had a normal fucking day of just like eating cereal and watching cartoons. Like, I cannot imagine this guy ever having a fucking normal, chill childhood day ever. Like, going to the playground, riding a fucking bike. Like, I just don't. I mean, maybe he did.
I mean,
it just seems like
he might have probably killed a small animal first.
or he went
about their day like normal.
Or he had to clean all the blood off of his bike to get on it to ride it to the playground. You know, like there's every day there's bloodshed in his house. Or if it's not happening, there's evidence of it. So he's just surrounded in it. He's not coming.
Yeah.
He's not going to the playground from a normal house. Like, his whole life is crazy. Like, they don't think it's crazy. And
yeah, I mean,
I don't think his mother's intention or maybe his padrino's intention was for him to be a fucking murderer. I don't think that was the intention. They were just doing what they thought was
well,
right.
Well, I think they were like, right? Wherever your power takes you. Like, but it's also that, you know, the belief is it's all in your will, what you want. Because they're not like worried about what happens after they die. They're all about what happens here and now on Earth. So to them, they're like, yeah, you got to fucking sacrifice some people to have your power and do, you know, insert your will on the land, like, the, you know, then do it, you know, because they're all about empower yourself on Earth and don't worry about the afterlife. And so in his eyes, he's like, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do. I'm feeding this Nganga to become more powerful and, you know, have stronger spells. So, right. You know, the protection spells, so they don't get caught doing what they're doing, because they're fucking selling drugs. You know, they became a drug cartel, and they're right. just straight fucking murdering people.
And they were protected
in crazy ways, like not even like normal gangster, dude. They're not even doing it like, you know, other gangsters would kill them. They're going above and beyond. They're straight mutilating people, and some of them leaving their corpses to be found. And then people are like, oh, fuck, you know, who's in town that just wiped out a whole fucking drug family? A right. cartel. That's crazy.
Right. And that's a testament and to his right powers.
In there. Never done it before. Fuck.
Well, that's a testament to his,
yep,
his powers and skill. He can do all this stuff and get away with it because that's the will of that he's imposing. That's the magic. Right.
I mean, that's his, yeah. He believes that everything he's doing is causing, or, you know, he's keeping himself safe through everything he does by, you know, his ritual sacrifices. And he truly believes that he is pretty much untouchable. Like yeah. they thought they were invisible to the cops. And what gets them busted is one of them's driving down the fucking road and they have a police check stop. And, you know, where you're supposed to pull over and they talk to you and shit. Uh-huh. And he just fucking blows right past it because he's like, they can't see me.
Wow.
The cops can't see me. He thought they like literally could not see him. And so they fucking followed him back to their shed. And I don't remember if they caught them at the shed. No, because they went on the run. Somehow they got out and or they weren't there. Some of the people got busted. Some of the cult members got busted at the shed. And then they find the fucking, you know, like I think it goes like a couple of days and then somebody finally goes and looks in the shed that's on the yard, and it's kind of like a farm property, you know, and so there's like, you know, there's extra buildings on the property. Mm-hmm. And they didn't look in it, and then they finally go and look in it and they find the Nganga, like they walked in on that.
Oh,
imagine being that dude at work.
That day. What a day.
Walking into a straight up fucking murder room with an right. Nganga full of blood and guts and maggots and what have you. And so they arrest all the people in the house. And then one of them's like, oh, you know, at any moment, this is all just going to end for us because we're protected by magic. And so they're straight up showing them where all the bodies are buried, who they killed, giving them names, where they kidnapped them from and shit. They're just telling them everything because they're like, this is all going to end here shortly and it won't matter because you can't stop us. Mm-hmm. They truly were believing that, you know, nothing would happen to them. And so Constanzo's not there. Like him and a couple other dudes are elsewhere. And they, you know, hear about what happened and they go hold up in a hotel. And they don't know what to do about that shed, so they burn it down. And then after the whole thing fucking crumbles down and falls apart, the Nganga's just sitting there boiling, like untouched.
Which, oh, I think, man. Is funny
because these people are strong religious, you know, and so to them, they're like, what the fuck? This thing won't burn.
Right.
And so they're freaked out. They think it's, you know, cursed or whatever. They're like, we can't destroy it. And yeah, that to me, the cops just walks up and kicks it over. And he's just like, I mean, I think a lot of people were like, dude, you might have just cursed yourself. But he's like, I don't fucking care. That thing's gone.
In Nganga.
Yeah, so that's what in, got with that.
Gone, in Nganga. That thing's gone.
Nganga.
That thing, kick it over. It's in gone.
Which is a fun word.
But yeah, he
ended, yeah, in Nganga.
he ended up getting the end of his story is he ended up getting murdered by his own people. It sounds like a suicide. Like, hey man, take this gun and shoot me, right?
It is.
Okay.
It's a full, yeah. So they're like in a hotel or some shit hold up, and I can't remember if the cops knew that they were there or they were trying to like stake them out, you know? And like, I guess in Mexico, the undercover cop cars just have a huge serial number on the side that marks them as an undercover cop car. So, you know, which I think should be a thing because right. the cops and
right.
you shouldn't be undercover at all.
Yeah, I agree.
So like, they look out the fucking window and they see the cop car, and the cops didn't even know where they were. They just happened to park out front of their house, and then they see the cop car and they're like, fuck, this is it. All right, grab the guns. And they pull out all their fucking like M16s and shit, and they just start shooting at the cops. And then it just turns into a full on shootout. And I think he goes in the closet with one or two of the other people, and he has, I can't remember if it's like El Doobie. He has that dude fucking close the door and then just unload the clip into the door. And it's assisted suicide is what they label as his death as. But yeah, he pretty much was like, this is the end. Fucking kill us and then kill yourself. And he was like, okay. And so he shut the door, kills him, and then was like, yeah, I'm not going to kill myself.
Yeah.
And then just decided not to.
El Doobie Kevorkian,
yeah. Was like, which I thought was funny because, he's supposed to kill himself, but then he's like, nah, I'm not going to.
Yeah, your power over me is.
But then
yeah,
I guess, like, when he was getting interviewed with the police. Yeah. Well, when he was getting interviewed with the police, he was like, Adolfo is going to come back, you know, and then. Like, all of this will just be over. Like, you don't understand how powerful this man is. You know, he's trying to explain to him, you know, you think this is something that matters, but it doesn't. We're all going to be safe because he's going to come back and, you know, fix it. And they're pretty much like, yeah, he's fucking dead, bro. He's not coming back. You shot him.
Mm-hmm.
So, and yeah, obviously they're all where they're at.
And he believed,
probably not stoked.
No, the power over them after he's even dead is like, yeah, he's not gone. That's pretty wild. Like,
yeah, they still think he's going to protect them.
Right. He lives on. He has extreme control over these people. And, you know, three of them are still in jail, I believe, for murder. Like I said, and I think a couple of them are still in jail for, you know, some of the drug stuff or whatever. But yeah, that's pretty wild ass.
I mean, that's the power of thought. That's the
that's power all it is, of the yeah. human
mind. And I mean, I some people can have a very strong mind and still have a very weak mind. And I think when people get suckered by guys like this, you know, that's the real, it's so easy for them to get lost in his bullshit. And their mind is so powerful in that belief that they stay, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It seems like when you're dealing with, it doesn't have to be magic or right-hand path or left-hand path, but any sort of religion in general. There's when you get really into it, I mean, really into it, there is the danger of someone really starting to think that they're like a holy figure. They're a holy person that is bigger than, I don't know, anyone else, or possibly the religion that they're, the path that they're going down. And if you can manipulate people, and then, you know, once you manipulate that first person and you get that power, that feeling, it just snowballs, and then it happens on all sides of this thing, you know, the light side, the dark side. But unfortunately with this guy, it led to a trail of mutilated bodies under the most insane circumstances, where it's just drug cartels, drug trafficking, international border crossing, just cauldrons full of body parts, and an invincibility complex
of where it's the 26 or 30 body.
Yeah, just, I mean, the guy was raised to believe he was going to be nothing but invincible. I think it just, there's no.
And the only thing I can say to that is believe in yourself.
Believe in yourself. Can you imagine running into like a guy who had his upbringing, like a Jack Mormon of sorts, like a Jack Palo guy, he's like sitting at a bar and you're having some drinks. He's like, yeah, man, where'd you grow up? And you're like, oh, I grew up here and I did this. And my parents did this. He's like, yeah. And then he tells you his story of growing up, but then he's like, but I got away from that. Now I just like do IT shit for some company or whatever. It's not going to happen.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. There's like one path this person goes down. Sometimes it ends in murder, but it's always going to be weird.
Yeah.
You know? Anyway, it's just this.
Yeah. Oh, dude, I think I forgot. I wanted to mention that you just reminded me is I think El Doobie. I can't remember what that dude's name is, but he would like hang out at bars and try and recruit people for the cult. And he'd be like, check it out. I have like finger bones and toe bones. And he would like pull out toes and shit and give them to people at the bar. I was like,
that's his
man. And they still weren't getting like questioned or anything.
That was his recruiting technique.
Showing people fingers and toes at the bar.
Yeah. You want in on this? You want in on this mm-hmm. fucking shit?
Yeah.
Do you want to be me eventually? Yeah.
People were like, dude, this guy's legit.
Imagine being attracted to that.
He was doing tarot cards and stuff and future readings and like helping people make decisions. People were like, this guy's legit. He was an ultimate con man.
Right.
That's very true. And he was able to get people to believe in his power. And once, you know, it's just as easy as like praying and then what you wanted happened and, being like, cool, God help me. Or, if it doesn't happen, you can be like, I have something to learn from this, you know, or, you know,
right.
I'm being tested in my faith.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's just an excuse that people can give for, I don't know, because I, you know, this manifesting has become a thing.
Yes, I do. Yes. I hear about it all the time. And I believe in, I believe in the power of manifestation, but I also believe that a good portion of it is, you know, if you're looking for something, you're going to find something. But if it inspires you, right. That's a different thing. Whatever you take from it.
Yes. Yeah, so, okay. And then now take, rituals and shit are just a hyper version of all of that. It's instead of a manifestation board, I painted a sigil on a thing and then jerked off onto it and poured my blood on it. And then I burnt it in the bonfire in my yard. And the whole time I was thinking about how I'm going to get a better job. And then you get a better job and you're like, cool, my ritual worked.
Do
you think that maybe you just, you know,
what if that job is just making
you just put in some of your own fucking work and you just got the job, or is it magic?
Well, what if that job is just videotaping the exact ritual you did and teaching people how to do it? And that's it. It's just that simple. Like, this is,
and that's
this
a
is,
fucking double up, dude.
How special is that?
That's, yeah, I'm sure it's out there. I'm positive it's out there.
Oh, yeah.
My point being is, you know, I think it's a lot of it to me is like, you're just setting a goal and then your religious beliefs are, you know, your way to blame it happening or not happening, whether it was good or bad.
Right.
And I find all that silly, but then I like, I don't know, read about this dude. I'm like, that's fucking crazy, dude. He's like sacrificing people, or he's like just doing it with chickens and stuff. And like telling people, go bury this chicken here and then put this one there. And then that guy who wronged you, like something bad will happen. Like he did that for this crossdresser. This crossdresser did a show and the guy refused to pay him, the owner of the bar, and she's fucking pissed. So she goes and has Adolfo Constanzo do a ritual to like make him pay. And the dude has a heart attack like 3 weeks later.
That's see that.
And
all right.
She's like, yeah, I'm a believer.
See, but it seems like anything that
that's freaky. That's just kind of crazy, man.
It is crazy, but he could have murdered the guy. He could have given him something to give him a heart attack. Like these things that he makes happen for people, he can manipulate. Like you can murder someone, you can make someone have a heart attack if you know how to. Like I'm not saying that's what he did,
right? But oh, you know what, I think they wrote him letters in blood.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, I don't
yeah.
know.
Oh yeah, totally.
I mean, you can say like this person's going to die on this day, and then you can make that person die. It's just all I'm saying. That's some mafia shit. You know, that's some like, yeah.
I mean, yeah, that's, fair enough.
That's some drug cartel shit.
Well, he died of a heart attack.
Yeah, but you can give you can give people heart attacks. You can inject them with things that give them heart attacks, right? I mean, I don't know what those things are, but I think heart attacks can be triggered.
Yeah.
I don't know, in the 80s when this guy was in his heyday, if it was, you know, a thing, or if he was just lucky in guessing, but he could have, but then again, right. It's also,
right.
They didn't live in the age of information. He could have had this motherfucker killed and then just reported it was a heart attack. Who knows? I don't know. You can, it was
easy. You're totally right about that. And I'll tell you why, because, okay, you're totally right. They could have just paid the guy to say it was a heart attack, because this is also in Mexico.
It's
where one of their victims, I don't think they killed him, but it was a dentist who was also a cocaine dealer, and they stole all of his drugs and money.
Mm-hmm.
I was mm-hmm. like, that's great.
Right.
he's lucky he didn't get fed to the Nganga, but
right.
He's a practicing dentist who's also a big time cocaine dealer. And I was like, I think that's hilarious,
man. That reminds me of, again, Steve Martin in Little Shop of Horrors, not cocaine, but, nitrous, but
I'm gonna have to watch that movie.
Oh dude, it's the best. It's one of the best. But yeah, it seems like a lot of the things that he would, I don't know, predict or say would come true can be manipulated by him secretly. Like he can make, because he's a shady dude, he can make shit he can make horrible things happen. He can say this horrible thing is going to happen, and then he can make it happen discreetly, right. And then say it happened one way. I mean, I have no fucking clue if that's true, but that's what con men do, right?
You know,
I mean, they create.
He did that. He did that with. Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off, but he did that with Sarah Aldretti. He like told her boyfriend was going to break up with her, and she's like, "No, he's not. Whatever." And then, like a couple days later, he was like, "Hey, I can't be with you anymore," and it's because he sent a couple of dudes over to fucking pretty much be like, break up with her, or we're gonna fuck you up.
Right.
And that's so he broke up with her.
That's a basic example. So, I mean,
you're totally right. He could manipulate. Right.
Yeah, that's like a low level, low threat.
Con man style.
Yeah, yeah. Just that's the most basic vanilla example of the power he could have. If he wants to take it to the extreme, he obviously would take it to the extreme. If he says someone's going to die, to make you believe in his power, so you pay him more money, he could have had that person killed, right? And then just said, see, I know all things. I know all things. But really what he's doing is manipulating all things. You know,
he knew that cop. That lieutenant or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then he knew that cop who I'm like, oh, maybe that's how he like had an in on when and where to do their like drug trafficking. So that way they wouldn't get busted because, you know, he knew the cop, you know, maybe he was fucking paying the cop for all we know.
I just think he was very smart. Crazy, psycho, violent, too hyper-violent, too into his own ego that the violence escalated just beyond comprehension, and so power-hungry. But he seemed like a smart guy. Like, he could manipulate the shit and manipulate a situation and manipulate the world and the environment to... Like, he could really create that illusion and like take a false reality and make it reality right in front of you and make you believe it because he created it. Like, this is going to happen and I'm going to make it happen. And then, you know, it wasn't gonna happen really.
Yep.
But since I told you it's gonna happen, it's gonna happen. If anything, he's a man of his word, right?
Yeah. 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 A man of his very shitty word.
Very shitty word. Well, is there anything else you want to say about this guy? Is there anything else about the magic that we've been talking about tonight before we start wrapping it up here?
I mean, nah, man, fuck him. That guy sucked. but as far as like practicing magicians go and magic, and I don't mean like fun show magic, but you know, any path followers or whatever. I mean, no offense to anybody. I feel like, yeah, I should say that. Do as you will.
And don't involve the law
or something like that, I think is the. Yeah, just leave me alone. Your magic's cool. I hope it works for you. I find it fascinating. I really do. But I, you know, I also am like a lot of times I'm like, this is fucking bullshit.
Well, it could, I mean, but you know, it's also, like, that's,
you made a fucking plan and then you executed it.
Right, right, you know? Right. Yeah.
How hard you pray or how hard you drop your knees or how killer your ritual. If you just put it out there in your mind that you're going to achieve this goal, I feel like you can accomplish the same thing, but you know, whatever helps. I mean, if it helps you to do these things, but if somebody else is doing it and you're believing it, beware. Right. That's all I'm trying to say.
Right. I agree with you. Yeah. Yeah.
Fall for anybody else's bullshit. That's how you end up.
Right.
Feeding gongas and shit. And
right.
I just don't think that's cool. But no, do your magic. You.
Absolutely, because I feel like it's the same with anything, any spiritual or religious path that you're on. If it gets you through the day and it gets you through your life and it enhances the beauty in your life and you're not hurting anyone and you're also not falling prey to anyone else's fucking scam, which is a huge part of any aspect of spirituality, religious or not, just. Yeah. Don't murder people. Don't manipulate people. And don't be just like the general rule of life. Don't be a dick. Just don't be a fucking dick. and it's all good. It's like, this is the intention of it, and is not what this guy did or what a lot of people do, which is self-serving. But I mean, it is self-serving, but self-serving when you bring in other people.
Well, it's all about being
to serve. Yeah, absolutely. But to, when you bring in a bunch of other people to serve your, have them serve you, that's really where the problem starts, right?
That's fucked up.
Right. It's just like, I mean, even social media, look at it. It's like you get followers. Like you have followers and people want followers. And this is like, that's such a weird term, because it's not a good thing to want followers in any way. Like, you don't want to call people followers and you don't want to be a follower. Like, you want to be yourself and you want to serve yourself, but you also want everyone else to be, like, you know, happy in their own shit and not worry about,
your own guy.
Right. And yeah, and not be happy because you're happy because they're doing what you want them to do, or you're making someone, you're happy because you made someone else happy by doing something you didn't want to do. You know, it's whatever. It's just, it's tricky. Right. It's tricky. It's like, we all can be happy and do our own things and serve ourselves, because that's what life's all about. But just don't manipulate people and don't take them out of their own fucking wavelength. You know, I mean, you got to every once in a while. You got to get out of your own head and got to get people out of their own head for their own good. But you don't ruin their life because you want your shit. You know what I mean? And you don't want to.
I just feel like, you know, magic and spirituality usually work best when you keep it to yourself.
Keep it to yourself. And it's fine when you got, the hard part is when you get like-minded individuals together.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. But when you get like-minded, say you get a group, like say three of us start meeting up in your basement and we're like, yeah, we all get down with this one thought. And then guaranteed from there, every meeting that we have is going to get more weird and volatile. And there's going to be all these different ideas and compromises to the point where no one's happy. Everyone's doing weird shit and no one's being themselves ever, because you have to like form an idea around, you have to compromise your whatever, your whole being to be a part of a group or follow someone else's shit or getting someone to follow your shit. And it's just,
Well, some people are happy with that, you know, like,
If it's not a bad thing.
Anton LaVey liked his religion that he created. I mean, it was all sex magic. So he basically was like, we're doing all these like crazy fucking metal rituals that are fucking badass, dude. And also I'm fucking having orgies. But he also would like straight, like, that dude was fucked because he like basically like raped a dude as a bottom, if that makes sense. And because it was like, this isn't about enjoying it, but we have to perform this sex ritual. So I think some people are probably like happy about their positions and their religion, and some people, some people think it's fun. You know, some people are like, I'm fucking into this and I want to do it with a group of people, not just like sex magic, but fucking all sorts of cults that, you know, it's all about the group thought and everybody believing the same thing. I just don't prescribe to that. I think that's a little bit, or subscribe to that is what I mean, but you know, it's weird. Herd mentality is some things, you know, I'm like, yeah, we should all feel that way. Like, pedophiles are horrible. They're the worst in the world. Everybody should feel that way.
Right.
But when you start getting into weird, you know,
these rocks make you feel this way, and blah, blah, blah. That's why I'm like, okay, this is getting a little too
right.
Too, that's, I don't know. I, religion has no place for me. I only understand what's logical. Magic is cool. It just doesn't work for me.
Yeah,
but it's fascinating.
You're spocking it like I do. It's gotta be logical, or you're really gonna have to explain it to me logically for me to understand why you believe that.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, and I can understand that and get down with.
Yeah, it's more about me understanding where
you're right. I believe that you believe that, and that's fucking cool. I don't believe that, and I hope you respect that I don't believe that. But you know, you got to mutually agree to disagree in this world. And yeah. If when it comes to sex magic, that's a whole other can of worms, man. When you get into all that.
Oh, dude, that's a whole, you could do a whole other episode on.
Yeah, shit. Well, maybe we'll have to come back. I'm interested in this Anton LaVey bottom raping someone. Like Anton LaVey forcing another man into sex.
Dude, he.
But he, did he?
Essentially just. Yes, but he was the bottom. He was the taker, and he, like. There were like other people there, and it was like, it was obvious there was no real enjoyment, but then the dude like had to have an orgasm for this, you know, the whole thing to work. And it's just, the whole thing's very awkward. And it's written somewhere. I read this, and it's very funny, but it seems very uncomfortable. But essentially the partner involved didn't really want to do it, but then did it because he was a part of the cult and he was chosen. So he felt like he had to.
He's just,
And then later on in life was like, yeah, I really didn't want to, but he kind of made me do it. It's just kind of a very, I shouldn't be laughing. It's not a cool story, but
it's the power. I mean, it's like, the power of manipulation.
You know, I was in, you know, he was a worshiper.
Right.
Yeah. He was like, I did it, but I didn't really want to. I did do it, you know.
Yeah, I'm interested if LaVey got...
Belief will take you places. That's why you got to fucking... think for yourself.
Yeah, actually. I'm interested in if LaVey took pleasure in it either, or if he was like, I fucking hate this, but it has to be done. I have no idea. I don't even know this story. But either way, it is another...
I think but I think he tried to keep that like a...
Well, that's what con men do, or con people.
The guy was, he was all over the place.
Yeah, but it's still just another example of extreme belief gets people to do things they don't want to do. And then the next thing they know, they snap out of it and they're like, oh, what? That wasn't me. But it was, and I had, I can't even get into the mind fuck.
Yeah, there's some trick to thinking they're doing the right
thing. Well, sometimes a lot of people need to do the quote unquote wrong thing to realize they're not into it. And then they realize who they are after that, but you don't ever want to get to that point. You don't ever want to have to do something bad to realize it's bad. You should just know it's bad, or not necessarily the word bad, but just not for you. You know, you don't have to, you know, like, for, you know, you don't have to try heroin to realize you don't like heroin. Just don't fucking do heroin. It's bad. It's bad. It's always bad.
Yeah. Just don't do it.
Just fucking nasty. Anyway. All right. Let's get into the real it's quick.
Nasty. Don't do it.
Let's get into the exhumed excerpt from the Tomb of the Promulgated, if you don't mind. We'll wrap it up here. I feel like,
all right.
I feel like there's a lag in the audio where you're hearing me probably like 2 or 3 seconds after I talk.
I think I am.
Yeah, it's actually longer than that. That is a pretty long pause. But I'm going to read you I'm going to read you a pretty short story, if you don't mind. It's called,
yes, please do.
The headline is Wailing Light in Washington, because you're a Washingtonian, are you not? To my knowledge.
I am, yeah, born and raised.
Born and raised in Washington State. So this is from a story from 1965. And this is pretty brief. It's pretty brief, but it seems to encapsulate American UFO sighting reactions to me in a way. So here it goes. And this starts with a quote. It was like a science fiction thing you see on TV, said Donald Peterson of Seattle, Washington, of the object he, his wife, and another couple observed while staying at the Peterson's cabin on Whidbey Island, Washington, which I've never been to Whidbey Island, honestly, if I'm being honest with you, Nick. I'm sure you have.
I have not either.
Oh, really? Okay.
That's okay. I haven't been there either.
It seems fancy. On the night of the 3rd of April, 1965, the two couples were outside when they heard a wailing noise. And that's not whale like from the ocean. It's a whale, like a scream noise, like a dog howling. It is usually so quiet up there that we noticed at once, Peterson told reporters later. Peterson first saw a reflection in the water, then looked up and saw a bright object apparently hovering over the lake in the direction of Bremerton and Olympia. I feel like that's two opposite directions, Bremerton and Olympia, unless it's southwest, I guess. Southwest. That'd be southwest. Let's see.
Right. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Southwest. He looked at it through a rifle scope.
That is correct.
Yeah. He looked at it through a rifle scope, but could see no details because of its brilliance. Peterson then shot his rifle into the air to see if that had any effect. It apparently didn't. 15 minutes later, the bright object disappeared, leaving clusters of different colored lights behind. And that's it. But that, to me, is why UFOs and ET.
That's dope as shit.
it's pretty interesting sighting. But it tells me that's why a lot of ETs, they don't land in America, because they're getting shot at. They immediately get shot at. It's an immediate.
Well, yeah, he's firing fucking shots off.
It's an immediate murder situation. Shoot at what you don't understand is the American way, right? I mean. That's just the way.
Yeah, pretty much.
It's just the way it goes.
That's funny.
I mean, every movie you think about, especially from the 80s, that involves alien contact, it's about and like Starman with Jeff Bridges is one of them. E.T. It's like they come in peace, but then they have to escape under the dark of night because the military tries to murder them. They're trying to murder them. They want to murder and torture them. And then the good civilians of the war, of the country.
Yeah.
Have to sneak them out. Yeah. So poor ET was trying to land in Seattle and this guy is shooting. Yeah.
In a Winnebago.
yeah. Right.
I feel like I can't remember.
Yeah, that's I'm trying to think of what the story is, but there's one I can't remember this where it was at, but like basically this dude was like, yeah, I was out bird hunting and then it got dark and I was walking back to my truck or whatever. It was some shit like that. And he, you know, saw like crazy lights, like a UFO in the sky. And he just pointed his shotgun at it and started shooting. I was like, why the fuck would you do that?
Why? Yeah. Yeah. Why would you
let them do what they're going to do? Just, you should have just stood there in silence. But
anyway. Yeah. Draw. What the fuck good does shooting at lights in the sky do? I mean, first off, you don't know what it is. It could be man-made. There could be human beings in there. You don't know what it is. It could, like, you really don't know what it is. And you're just going to fucking haul off and shoot shots at it. But then again, if you don't know what it is and what it's capable of, why are you going to just be so aggressive to the point where, I mean, they can incinerate you. Possibly. You know what I mean? Like, you don't know what they're capable of. Like, how dumb is that? It's like walking into, right. It's like walking into an MMA octagon in street clothes.
Well, who just shoots at shit that they don't know?
Yeah. And try to pick a fight with an MMA fighter by, like, you know, like slapping them on the fucking shoulder. With, you know, like, fuck you, pal, and then just getting your ass whipped. Like, that's, it doesn't make any sense to just start shooting.
Yeah. Hey, bro.
What you don't understand. But it's even these, if you do understand it to be an unidentified object, don't shoot at it. You know? But then again, this is in the 60s. I think it would still happen today. I don't think anyone's learned any lessons.
Yeah. Just leave it alone, man.
Just leave it alone. And you report it, but then guess what happens? The military starts shooting at it. I mean, like, somebody is going to shoot.
Yeah. Oh, I doubt it.
Somebody's shooting at it regardless. Eventually. Yeah. So anyway,
I mean, we could just stop shooting at stuff.
Yeah.
We could just stop shooting at stuff because we don't know what it
is. Right. That's the immediate reaction is,
that would be nice.
Yeah, it would be nice. I just, the Second Amendment folks, right? Am I right? I mean, hey, I'm not against it. I'm just against some folks having guns, you know what I mean? Some folks don't need them.
Same. Yeah, completely.
All right, Nick. I think we did it, dude. I really agree. I really appreciate you.
Most of the folks that have them.
Right. Man, this is like a 5-second lag we got going on.
Yeah, dude, I'm stoked. This is awesome. Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Wait for it.
Yeah, hopefully it's not too bad. You might have to do a little editing.
I'm having fun with it now, because you can't hear a word I'm saying until. So I'm going to keep it all. It's all staying in the show. It's all staying in. This has only happened a few times where there's this weird Zoom lag.
Wait for it. Wait for it.
Yeah. But I appreciate you being here. I'll talk to you soon. Yeah. We'll do it again sometime. Right. Tell the family I said hi. And I love you.
Yeah, thanks, man. I will. You do the same.
Wait for it.
Yeah. Next time, I love you.
All right. All right, Nick. I'll talk to you soon.
Later. All right, later.
Okay, there it is. There it was. Pretty fucked up story, right? Yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. Thank you, Nick, again for being here with me. And yeah, I've had guests that there's been that audio lag before, and it's very noticeable. But for some reason, I don't know how Nick did it, because it was his very first Zoom call ever in his life. He reacted with no delay most of the talk when there was an obvious delay. So I don't know how you did it, Nick, but I am very, very fucking impressed. But that was a really great conversation. I hope you enjoyed that. It was a really good time. Been wanting him to be on the show for a long time. So yeah. Okay. I am going to play a song from Nick's band, Gaytheist. He plays drums in this band. He is one of the best in the business when it comes to just pummeling the shit out of a drum kit. This song I chose mainly because of the title. It also highlights his style pretty well on drums. But it's off of an album called How Long Have I Been on Fire? And you can get the vinyl on Hex Records. I'm going to post links to this stuff in the show notes. And it's a great album cover. It's a great album cover. You got to check it out, you know, if anything, just for the album cover. But it's a great photo taken by a good friend, James Rexroad, who's shoots all the bands in Portland and beyond. But great, great, great album cover. But this song has a couple names. There's the explicit version and the PG version, I guess, of it. But the title is Dropping Shitloads of Truth Bombs into a Swirling Pool of Knowledge, which may as well be the tagline for this show. It also goes by Dropping Buttloads of Truth, ... But here it is. Incredible. I hope you enjoyed that. If you like Gaytheist, they are playing March 31st at Dante's in wonderful downtown Portland, Oregon, with an excellent Venezuelan band called Zeta and another Portland band called Samuda, who are also some good friends of yours truly. So try to make it out if you're in the area. And that is it. That is the show, everyone. I hope you enjoyed it very, very, very much. I will see you next time. And please, until then, everyone, stay sane and stay safe.